Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Brother Matichera called today and sends his greetings to all of you. He asked me what I was going to preach on tonight, and I said, all things new. And he said, isn't that a message for Sunday? Well, I told him, I said, well, the Lord laid it on my heart right now, so we'll cover it tonight. Revelation chapter 21, and we'll begin in verse 1, Lord willing. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So verse 1 starts out saying, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then we read there in verse 5, he said, behold, I make all things new. The Lord just kind of laid this on my heart for this last service of this year. In a little over 50 hours, Lord willing, we'll start out with a new year. If the Lord wills, if he allows us to live that long. You know, God in his mercy gives us many fresh starts in life, doesn't he? Every 24 hours, we get a fresh start. God made these different time periods and frames. I was working this week, and there's an older gentleman that's a plumber and a heating man. He's about 80 years old. Maybe he's 80-something. I'm not sure. I'm just told he's 80. And he told me, he said that he made plans to retire and get rid of all of his stuff, but then his son and grandson wanted him to continue the business because they want to take it over. And so I guess they're in the process of doing that, and it's going very well for them. They're just swamped with business, I guess. So for an 80-year-old guy, he is really enthusiastic. And so he comes in the morning and just upbeat and enthusiastic, ready to get going and moving and, you know, going, doing his job. And that was somewhere between 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I noticed about 2 o'clock, I saw him. He was standing on a stepladder just looking up at the floor above him. And it just wasn't like him to just be looking at something and not moving, enthusiastic. And so I thought, I have a feeling he's getting tired. It's mid-afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, sure enough, tools back in the toolbox, and they were gone. He was tired. So, you know, after a hard day's work and the older you get, maybe it's the shorter day, but I'd say he's doing pretty well for 80-some, but a fresh start. So, hey, it's getting toward the end of the day at least. Throw the tools in the toolbox, go home, rest. Get a fresh start in the morning. God is so good to us to give us time periods so we can get a fresh start. some refreshment. And then he not only designed 24-hour days, but then 7 days in a week. So each week, we get a fresh start. And I'm sure you have some weeks where you're glad the week is over. And so you can start out fresh on Monday. Actually, Sunday's the first day of the week. But because of our work week in America, we look at Monday as the start of the week. But it's actually Sunday. But so there's days God gave us to get a fresh start every 24 hours. Weeks to get a fresh start every Sunday, Monday. And then every month, 30, 31 days, God made these time periods. And so there might be some months that are very difficult for you. And you're ready for a new month to come along. And then every 3 months, we get a fresh start with seasons. Every 3 months, there's a new season. Some of those seasons you might like. Other seasons, someone else might like. Like this season, winter, is upon us, and the cold and the snow, some enjoy. Some enjoy 75 degrees. But every 3 months, we get a fresh start and a new season. It reminds me, Brother Ray said that at Ronk, our missionary in Brazil, he said that January is a very busy month for him because he's the other side of the equator. So, you know, their seasons are opposite of us. So he said January in Brazil is summer break. And so there's a lot of pastors going on vacation, I guess, with their families. And so he's been asked to fill a lot of pulpits in January. So it just reminds us of the different seasons above and below the equator there. So every 3 months there, a new season, and then every 12 months, which we're thinking right now, a new year, a fresh new year. And Lord willing, many of our dear ones tonight are not feeling well, finishing out this year under the weather, and we pray for them that they will be feeling much better with a new year coming in, a fresh start. But even with a new year upon us, we might have a fresh start, but we still have these bodies of flesh, which are not going to be a year younger, but they're still aging. It's kind of like about a year and a half ago, we bought this minivan, and so we got a new vehicle. But it's not new. It was 10 years old when we bought it. So that's kind of the way that we go into the new year. It's a new, fresh start, but there are still challenges that we face as well. So number one, if you're taking the notes, there is coming a new heaven and a new earth. There is coming a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. When it says there was no more sea, I've wondered about this, but I've never asked a man who's been in the Navy how he feels about that. No more sea. You know, it's kind of like you guys drive the big rigs. You know, it gets kind of in your blood, you know, that diesel and the big trucks. And some people, it's that way for the sea. I mean, it's just in their blood, kind of. They enjoy being out at sea. I need to ask some of those guys what they think about that. But there's going to be no more sea. There's been a lot of people perish in the oceans and the seas. So we can understand why God would make a new earth. Hold your place here, if you would, and notice with me in Genesis 4. Genesis 4 and verses 9 and 10. We can understand why God would want to make a new earth. Genesis 4, 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. What does this mean? That his blood was crying to him from the ground. Well, if you go over to Numbers 35, I think you'll see. Numbers 35, and this is kind of a scary thing in regard to America, and not just America, but probably every nation of the world, you have abortion. In Numbers 35, 33, what does the Bible say? It says, so ye shall not, what? pollute the land wherein ye are. For what? Blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. So when the Lord told Cain, your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground, we're looking at this principle here. Innocent blood defiles the land. You think of the millions and millions of babies. Every year or every day in America, there's on the average over 3,000 babies aborted. Over 3,000 killed. You know, every year they remember 9-1-1, what happened out in New York, and was it Pennsylvania too, where that plane went down? And 3,000 some people died that day, but you know, every day on the average with abortion, that many innocent babies are slaughtered through abortion. So we can understand why God would want to make a new earth. This one's defiled. But what about a new heaven? Why would God want to make a new heaven? Well, I mentioned this recently in a message, but look at Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Why would God want to make a new heaven? I mean, that's his place. Jesus left the glory of heaven to come to earth. Why would God want to make a new heaven? Revelation 12, 7. And there was what? War. War where? In heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, there are a lot of people that don't understand what Satan is doing and where he is. There are a lot of people right now, and for the most part, they're probably scoffers, but they think that Satan is in hell right now with his pitchfork, and all the people who die and go to hell, they think he's down there poking them, tormenting him. Well, that is not what Satan is doing. Right now, Satan is free to roam between heaven and earth, just like in the days of Job. The sons of God came before the Lord and had to give an account of what they had done. Satan also came among them. And what was he doing? Well, let's go to Job chapter 1. It'll show you just what Satan is doing yet to this day, until the point we just read about in the book of Revelation, when he's cast out of the heavenly realm. In Job 1, 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro, where? In the earth, and from walking up and down in it. That's what he's doing. He's going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it, and then he's going before God to heaven to answer for what he is doing. That is what he's doing. And so back in Revelation 12, when this battle takes place, verse 8, Revelation 12, 8 said, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That is for Satan. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So at this point, which is the mid-tribulation point, Satan is cast out of the heavenly realm. He can no more come before God. He is confined to this earth at that point, and he's having great wrath. And as we read the book of Revelation, and because his time is short, and he knows it now. So there's war in heaven. So it's no wonder that the Lord would want to make a new heaven, because there's been war there. But something else, Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the who? accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God, what? Day and night. Do you realize we have someone day and night accusing us before God? And it's Satan. How would you like to walk into a room where people were just ripping you to shreds without you being there, talking about you? How would you like to enter a room and it's, I wonder how the faces would look. They'd just been talking about you and you just walked in the room. Would it be a look of surprise? Would it be a bad look? Brother Matichera was saying he was in a grocery store, and some lady was trying to reach for something. And he said, you know, ma'am, can I help you? And she turned around and just sneered at him and said, no. And she couldn't reach it, and then she just walked off. So I told Brother Matichera, the people in New York are, you know, a mean bunch, you know. So it didn't make his day, that's for sure. But can you imagine just walking into a room and having all the people sneer at you, or maybe walking into a room and they put on a fake smile, like, ooh, I wonder if he heard what I was just saying about him. That wouldn't be too fun, would it? Well, in heaven, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. Would heaven really seem wonderful if you knew what had been happening there with the talk? You know, well, there's something good. 1 John 2. Yes, Satan is there. Yes, in heaven, accusing us. It's kind of really sad, isn't it, when he has some ammunition? You know, when we mess up and go against what the Lord says, and then I'm sure Satan is right there. Did you just see what Mike did? Did you see? Did you see? What does Jesus do? What does he say? 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye what? Sin not. That is what we should be doing, is sinning not. Then it goes on. And if any man sin, because all of us are sinners. And if any man sin, we have what? An advocate. Not an adversary. Satan is our adversary. He's the one accusing us. Do we deserve accusing? Well, we are all sinners. But he's accusing us, but Jesus is our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who? The righteous. Can you imagine the love of God? Man accuses us. We're faulty. None of us are perfect. We're far from it. So man talks against us. And at the same time, Jesus is in heaven advocating for us. Based on what? Our righteousness? No, it's true that we are sinners. It's true that we come short of the glory of God. It's true that we come so short of his glory. But he's up there advocating for us. It's like he's a lawyer advocating on our behalf to be spared because of his righteousness. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means satisfaction. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There were some guys digging a gas line today, and so I went out there and I asked them, I said, they were using one of those tools to bore under the ground to run this gas line, and so I was talking to them about it, and there was three men out there, and the chief of the crew decided to play a little game with me. So I asked him about how they steer that thing under the ground, and he gave me some crazy answer like, there's no way to steer that thing. It's just, you know, we just hope it goes the right place, you know. And It's kind of like Brother Matachira told his daughter he recently had to have a stent put in his eye. And so he tells his daughter that somebody made a mistake and that his eye fell on the floor and they had to pick it up and wash it off and put it back in. And she believed him. I said, Brother Matachira, you are mean. You are mean. So there was this mean crew chief out there today anyway. And he told me a little story. And then finally he fessed up and told me how they do steer that thing under the ground. But, you know, in life, isn't life like that? And so anyway, he got through this little game with me. And then I was able to share with them about the power of Jesus Christ. They're running a gas line. And it's as far as I know, it's the most inexpensive way to heat your house if you have natural gas. And, of course, there is no power in the world to be had to forgive our sins except Jesus Christ. And you talk about reasonable. There is no fee for us, is there? Because Jesus paid the price. So who wouldn't, as it were, hook up to Jesus Christ for salvation? Who wouldn't ask him to pay the price for their sin? It's strange, isn't it? How many people have not and will not even put in the request? You know, you don't get natural gas without putting in a request for a hookup. And there's no salvation without a request. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. So when it comes to a new heaven and a new earth, I can see why God is making a new heaven as well. There's been war there. There's been a lot of talk against his people in heaven. Satan constantly. In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. So we've got to make the request, and he will grant it. Praise the Lord. So there's coming a new heaven and a new earth. Let's go back to Revelation 21. Number two, there is coming a new city. Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a what? A bride adorned for her husband. You know, cities get old, and they try to revitalize them. So the city of Greenville, Lafayette Street, was what they used to call Main Street. I guess it still is called Main Street. But what happens is cities age and buildings age, and then businesses want to get out in the suburbs. And, of course, back when Greenville was built, you know, it was like you have to pay for parking. And then gradually stores build toward the suburbs, and there's acres of parking, and it's free. And so downtown businesses lose out. And so years ago, I was sitting in on some of the city meetings, not for that reason, but just for other reasons. And I heard about their plan to revitalize the downtown. And so they just took out, you know, it used to be two lanes each way and then pay parking on the curb. And so they had to do a lot of this weaving in and out number and put planters and trees and lights, different lights, which may have improved the looks, but it didn't bring any more people downtown, just for those looks. Things were headed west in Greenville. But here we find a city, a new Jerusalem. It's new. It's not just something rebuilt, revitalized. It's new. It's a new city, the new Jerusalem. And it's beautiful as a bride adorned for her husband. You look down in verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having what? The glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. You know, at night, I guess you can see from our house across the field. When the atmospheric conditions are just right, maybe the moisture in the air, the lights of Greenville just, the sky glows over Greenville. It's like the glory. If you look southwest toward Grand Rapids at night, you can just see if there's clouds very low, all those lights, you could just see it lights up the sky. Well, the new Jerusalem is going to shine with the glory of God. What a wonderful place. So there's coming a new heaven and a new earth. There's coming a new city. Number three, there's coming a new sight. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." You know, back in the years where more of radio, and of course, sometimes even today, but when there was more radio, then you heard a certain voice, and in your mind you had a picture. How many of you have ever heard the preacher? He's with the Lord now, but his name, J. Vernon McGee. You ever heard that name? Some of you. Okay. All right. Well, when I met my wife, her parents had the Christian radio on a lot, and they listened to J. Vernon McGee. And just so I heard his voice for years and never saw his picture. When I finally saw his picture, you know what I thought? That can't be J. Vernon McGee, because in my mind, I had a totally different picture of his face. And you know, today, well, we speak often with our Lord, but one day we're going to get to see him face to face. What a wonderful day that will be. Notice in 1 John 3, and verse 2. 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a wonderful day that is going to be. You know, when I pray to the Lord, I don't think of any picture. I don't think of any image, and I believe that's the way the Lord wants, that he doesn't want us thinking of a certain image, because when we see him, we're going to see what he really looks like. And so we're not worshiping some image, talking to some image. But there's coming a new sight, praise the Lord. Number four, there is coming new emotions and feelings. Maybe I should have said there are coming new emotions and feelings. Notice in Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all what? Tears from their eyes." There's a lot of tears in this life, a lot of sorrow. But it goes on, "And there shall be no more what? Death." No more death. Neither what? Sorrow. Can you imagine a life without tears and sorrow and death? Nor what? Crying. Neither shall there be any more what? Pain. Can you imagine a life with no pain? Well, if you're young, you say, "Sure, I can imagine that." When you're old, you can say, "No, I can't imagine that, being without pain." "Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are what? Passed away." There's coming a day when there's going to be new emotions and feelings, and they're not going to include sorrow, crying, death, pain. None of those feelings and emotions are going to exist at that point. God is going to wipe them all away. And you know what that makes me think of? This whole thing about all things new. It makes me think of Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. "Now, I've been called a lot of names. Brother Matichera told me that before he offered to reach for that article in the store for that woman, and she turned around and refused his help and sneered at him. Before that, he was in the grocery store without a mask. And some woman came up to him who was wearing a mask and said some very bad words to him because he was not wearing a mask. And I suppose all of us have been called some very, very bad words, sometimes to our face like he was, and sometimes behind our backs. But notice in Isaiah 9:6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called" what? Wonderful. The very first name listed is Wonderful. Wouldn't that be the first thing we call him? When someone in heaven for all those years has been accusing us, and yes, we are faulty. Do we deserve accusations? Yes, we are sinners. But to know that through all of that time, he was defending us, not for our righteousness, but based upon his righteousness. All of those years, he's been in heaven defending us against all the accusations. I mean, against all those accusations, Jesus should say, "Amen, Satan, that's right. He is a sinner. That's right, he did do wrong, and I will chasten him." But he's up there defending us based upon his blood, his righteous blood. Who would not the first time say, "You are wonderful. You are absolutely wonderful. You've defended me when I didn't deserve it. Thank you. Thank you for being there for me." Let's notice in closing, let's go to Psalm 102. Psalm 102 in verse 17. When I think of ending this year, I just think God is bringing all things new. We're going to have a whole new set of emotions, feelings. They're not going to include the pain and sorrow of this life. Psalm 102, verse 17 says, "He will regard the prayer of" who? "The destitute." Well, that's me. Is that you? "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not" what? "Despise their prayer." Does anyone despise you? I know they despise me. I have a feeling some people maybe despise you too. Those gas guys, when I first walked up to them, the crew leader there had to give a choice swear word. And thankfully, they didn't act that way after talking to him about the Lord. But he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Indeed, he's wonderful. He's going to make all things new. We look forward to that day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these periods of time that you give us to experience some refreshment and some restart, whether it be a day or a week or a month or a season or a year. We thank you that you designed in time these times of refreshment when we could restart. And Father, we pray, Lord, we pray you'd help us to be so thankful for all that you've done, for sending your Son to die on a cross for our sins, for Jesus giving his pure and righteous blood to wash away our sin. And Lord, we have made that request for his power to save us and wash us clean. Lord, how can we thank you enough for how you've defended us all these years from Satan, who is accusing us? And you could easily say, rightly so, we are wretched sinners, and yet you are our advocate, pleading your own righteousness on our behalf. Indeed, you are wonderful. We look forward to the day when we see the Lord Jesus face to face, the one who indeed is wonderful. Have your way in our hearts. Lord, I pray that in the last hours of this year that we would not be ashamed of you, the one who defends us. May we speak well of you always before all people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.